All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm speaking to you from New York City on this, the 13th day of October, 2020. I do want to remind you that I publish a newsletter called Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks. You can sign up for that newsletter, which is published weekly, and then a monthly letter as well goes out to our paid subscribers. You can go to miningstocks.com, miningstocks.com to sign up for that. You can call our number here in New York during normal work hours as well, 718-457-1426, 718-457-1426. Also like to plug Chen Lin's letter, What is Chen Buying, What is Chen Selling? Chen follows the energy sector as well as the mining sector. And he especially has developed an expertise in the biotech sector. So a very exciting sector that Chen has been very successful in. So what is Chen buying? What is Chen selling? Go to chenpicks.com to sign up for Chen's letter. And Oliver MSA is Michael Oliver's website. We'll be talking to Michael in just a few minutes. Excellent newsletter as well. You might want to consider signing up for Michael's work as well. I do want to thank all of you for listening to the show, making it one of the more popular shows on the Voice America Business Channel. Also, encourage you to send along whatever comments you might have about this show to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com, questions, the number four, taylor@gmail.com. And our sponsors for today, we want to thank them because without them there would be no show. Benchmark Metals, NV Gold, Hannon Metals, Irving Resources, Novo Resources, Sitka Gold Corp, Lion One Metals, Grand Portage, GMV Minerals, and SK Mining Corp. I've titled today's show, The Gold Bull Market. Are we nearing the end? Rick Rule, Dr. Quentin Henning, and Michael Oliver are my guests today. Bernard Baruch was successful, a very successful investor in the 30s and 40s because he bought stocks that no one else wanted and then sold them into panic situations. So when everybody wanted them, he was out. Nobody wanted him. He looked for value and bought then. Rick Rule is known to follow that strategy very successfully in the natural resource sector, where he has been investing over the past three decades or so. A few months ago on Kitco, in an interview that Rick did, he said that events are shaping up that are uniquely positive for gold. So I want to ask him what he sees that makes gold uniquely positive at this point in time. But more importantly, since Rick has had such a splendid track record of exiting bull market parties before they turned into disasters, I wanted to get a sense from him about what metrics he will be looking for to tell his to tell him that it's time to exit his long gold position. So right after our first commercial break, Dr. Quentin Henning will join me to talk about another company that is that he is advising as a technical advisor, this one SK Mining Corp. Now, this company's property is located within the same belt of rocks as the nearby Great SK Mine, which has been one of Canada's richest mines. In fact, it was the richest gold mine, richest mine in history when it was producing a few years back. So we'll ask Quentin why he decided to become involved as an advisor with SK Mining Corp. Quentin doesn't get involved in projects unless he thinks there's something, not only something there, but something that's there in size and magnitude to make it worthwhile. So I'm looking forward to talking to Quentin. He'll be with me right after our first commercial break. But right now I'm happy to tell you that Michael Oliver is with me once more. Thanks for joining me, Michael.
Hi, Jay. Good to be back.
You know, you've been big on commodities. Commodities that just haven't. I mean, a lot of these commodities. You made the case some time ago that it's very difficult to see how they could go lower. And I know you follow the Bloomberg Commodity Index as a proxy for the commodity complex in general. But what are you seeing now in commodities? Do you think finally we might start seeing some action there?
Oh yes, I think so. I think we've had 5 years. Most commodities collapsed with gold and from peaks in around 2011. And so it was a universal drop. It wasn't just, because this market had too much supply, it went down. I mean, they all went down, okay?
Yeah.
So as a group. And they all made lows in late 2015, early 2016, much like gold. Mm-hmm. The difference is that gold, when it reasserted itself, never went back to its lows, retested them in 2018, but didn't go back to them, and then took off. And meanwhile, commodities remained the Bloomberg Commodity Index, and you can see it in the grains as well, and the oil market, remained in a sort of rectangular range for, 5 years. And up, down, and they just weren't going to collapse any lower. Oil finally had one more tantrum, that we had back early this year, where it,
went negative.
Zero. It went under zero, but that was an illiquid contract.
Yeah.
But, it bombed out, okay, and then rebounded. It's now at 40. But the complex itself, I'm looking, across the board, not just the grains, but sugar, for example, in the soft arena, copper, crude oil, natural gas. We're seeing uprisings, technically speaking, in all of these subcategories of the commodity complex. And I'm seeing it in the Bloomberg itself, which is a very well-balanced. I like there are other commodity indexes out there, but a lot of them are too heavily weighted to energy. This one's a better balanced index.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells me technically via our methods that a major bottom is in place, a breakout has just occurred, and I suspect it's partly a gut guess, but really not. I think in the next couple quarters we'll see the Bloomberg go up 30% or so. Now, in price, when you look at a price chart of the Bloomberg, which is now in the low 70s, I think you can go to 100, 110, that area rapidly. And if you look at that price and go back to 2011, for example, it's not that big of a deal, but that's a huge first surge, and I think we're going to get it. And I think it could be noisy. I also think it'll be broad. It won't be focused on, one berserk commodity going up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's sort of like, in a bigger way, what happened in the late 1970s when gold asserted itself from a low in August of 1976 at $103.50. And a couple years later, it was pushing up several hundred dollars and then finally went to $850. Well, in the last few years of that gold bull move, the commodity complex joined in.
Mm-hmm.
It was lagged to gold by a year and a half or 2 years, but it finally said, okay, we're going to join you. And they never did outpace gold, but they matched it in terms of, sharp upside. I think we're going to get that out of Bloomberg. So I think that the central banks have been looking for inflation. Were they talking more than 2%? Well, they might get something on the order of 20 to 30%
out of
the hole. And I think it could happen in a couple quarters.
Mm-hmm.
But what I saw yesterday, we traded up to a price in the Bloomberg that to me signals, okay, bottom now complete, expect the components to get together and start to move.
Mm-hmm.
And I see some big percentage opportunities. We're talking about, visualize a beach ball. You push it underwater and then you let go of it and it comes surging up out of the... That's what effectively a lot of these commodities look like technically,
mm-hmm.
is downside excess too long. And when they get released, they'll go big time.
So you're seeing the commodity complex as a whole, but are there any commodities that stand out from where they are now that you might want to highlight?
Just like in any sector that's moving, or asset category, there's always something better than the other thing. But one of the areas I see, and we're talking stocks now too, I would focus on commodity-related stocks, not just commodities themselves. But some of the subsectors in the energy sector, not XLE, which is the major ETF for the energy sector, the big name oil companies,
mm-hmm.
but some
mm-hmm.
of the lesser sectors like the oil services, oil and gas exploration sector ETFs, they look like they could have a far greater percentage beach balls resurgence than oil itself. because they were, some of these things have collapsed like 90-95% off their highs of several years ago. I mean, major crashes. And unless we're going to go into a world where we don't need energy, these guys are going to get reborn. And just the first phase of the rebirth could be a vacuum-like effect, simply because they were sold off the page. Mm-hmm. And there's no more sellers left. I mean, if you're going to sell them, you've sold them. You know, so when they turn up, they could really move. So I think there's some noise out there about to occur, and I think that will further enhance interest in gold, obviously, because you're going to get, quote, commodity price inflation.
Mm-hmm. And people look for the monetary asset that protects them from inflation.
Yep.
So I wonder, do you see the dollar then as, you know, if we have a major move in the commodity complex, we see some weakness in the dollar that goes along with that?
Mm-hmm. I think so. Dollar is toiling right now. It's tried to, much like gold, okay? Dollar made a low in August, first week or two of August, and then had a rally. Well, what did gold do? Made a high, had a sell-off. Okay, so they're actually somewhat linked now. They haven't been for the past couple of years, but their recent action has put them in inverse linkage. And I think the gold pullback has probably seen its low, and I think the dollar rally that we had off of that low has been seen as well. Now the issue is, okay, now if the dollar is going to roll over, what levels are going to pick up steam? And in our reports, we cover that issue. But I think that the dollar bounce we had from the August low is over. I think now the only issue is, when does it resume a noticeable downside? And I think it's probably, at hand. It won't take long to show it. I will give you a specific number. If you ever trade 91 on the dollar index, which right now is trading at 93 level, if you ever trade 91 any time this year, you're going to collapse into the mid-80s quickly.
All right.
That trigger number jumps up. When you get into 2021, you get up to about 90, you drop down to about 92.5 anytime next year, and I think you'll collapse, the next phase will collapse into the mid-80s quickly. For the dollar, that's a big move. I mean,
that is a big move. Michael, with just another minute left here, where does all this leave stocks and bonds then? If we start having commodity inflation, does that start to hurt stocks and bonds?
Yes, it does. I think it's an issue of not what the Fed wants to happen with their money printing, it's what the investor class wants to have happen. They'll divert that flow of liquidity into arenas that they think are less risk, more reward. And I think the perception of commodities being one of those arenas is going to soon be on the windshield of everybody, especially when the Bloomberg turns up and commodity-related stocks start to perform. So I think the only stocks I want to own are gold miners and commodity-related stocks. The others wave goodbye. I don't trust this recent advance. It's been very narrow, tech-related. About five or six symbols explain the whole thing. It's not a broad market situation, and I think when those symbols roll over, and it's Amazon's, Apple's, and so forth, you're going to see the broad market kick down. And so, and then the money flow into commodities.
Yeah, right. Well, you and I are old enough to have been around during the 70s, the stagflation scenario, which I think you've talked about before. It sounds like that's what you're seeing again, and not a happy scenario, but let's be ready as we can be for it and prepare as best we can. Michael, thank you so much again for spending your time with us.
Thank you, Jay.
All right, folks, well, we have to go to break now, but Quentin Henning will be back with me to talk about SK Creek. It was one of the most famous and high-grade mines in Canadian history, and SK Mining is in the same belt of rocks, as I understand it. We'll talk to Quentin Henning right after the break about this exciting new prospect. I'll be right back with Quentin Henning.
Novo Resources Corp. trades on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF and on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol NVO. Its flagship assets are located in the Pilbara region of Western Australia. Novo has recently partnered with Sumitomo Corporation of Japan to evaluate, advance, and develop the company's Australian gold projects. With over $40 million in cash and $60 million committed from Sumitomo, Novo is well on its way to establishing itself as one of the top junior explorers and developers in Australia.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.